All right, then you're starting off real good. Let's see what we can do with Acts chapter 8 this morning. Acts chapter 8, let's begin reading in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza. I always call that Gaza. Some people call it Gaza. Yeah, Gaza. Anyway, hey, there's activity over there today, isn't there? Yeah, we're having a little bit of problem. Israel is. Gaza, the same place, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, verses 7 and 8 of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself? Or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now this is a most wonderful illustration of the carrying out of the great commission that Jesus gave. It's a classic example in here, number one, of how a person comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And number two, who is a fit subject for the ordinance of baptism. Notice that when the Lord called Philip, he called a busy man. In the previous verses, you'll find that Philip was actively preaching in Samaria. When God calls somebody to do something for him, he usually calls somebody that's busy, working. There are lots of people today that say, Lord, I'll make myself available to you. And then they'll sit down on the stool of do-nothing and cover their eyes lest they should see something that needs to be done. Philip had been in a revival meeting in Samaria, verses 26 and 27. And when God called him, I want you to notice there was not a moment's hesitation when that call of God came. He did not argue with the Lord. He did not dispute God's call. He did not make excuses, but he was ready to go. Not at all like Jonah that we talked about the other day. And I want you to notice the object of God's interest here. This is really something. God apparently wanted this man. For some reason or other that we don't know. I think that it's wonderful when the grace of God becomes actively interested in somebody, and how that when that individual begins to express interest in the things of God, God has somebody ready to show him the way. At this particular time, the country of Ethiopia was a great, wealthy, powerful nation. But it was in spiritual darkness in regards to the gospel witness. This man had a right to be proud of his nation. He was an official of great authority. He was trusted, tried, and proven by the responsibility that had been entrusted to him by his queen. But in spite of all of this, this man was lost. Doesn't matter what your nationality may be, or what position of authority you may hold. Doesn't make any difference how trustworthy you may be, or how honest, or dependable, or truthful. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are lost. Now here was a man who traveled a great distance. He came to the right place, Jerusalem. He came for the right purpose. He had gone there to worship God. But he was lost. There's no doubt in my mind but that while he was in Jerusalem, he had heard about what had happened in that city in the recent past. I'm sure that he had heard the name of Jesus. He had heard about how he had been crucified. Everybody was talking about it, and particularly about his resurrection from the dead. He'd probably heard about Pentecost and what happened there. Lots of people were affected by that. He probably heard about the healing of the lame man at the beautiful gate by Peter and John. He may have heard about the judgment of God upon Ananias and Sapphira in the early church. He may have heard about Stephen being stoned to death. He may have heard about Peter's deliverance from prison. All these things were the talk of the town during the time he was there. Notice that this man had come so close, but yet he had not found the peace that he was searching for. He had a desire in his heart to worship the true God, but he did not know the way to worship God in truth. He had been to Jerusalem, but he hadn't found it. And he's now returning as he had gone, lost. But he's still seeking. He's still searching the scriptures. He was reading his Bible, and God saw the desire in his heart. Deuteronomy 4:39 says, if thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. God said in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9, the Lord searcheth the heart. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. In Ezra chapter 8, verse 22, the hand of the Lord is upon all them for good that seek him. And this man was seeking. Jeremiah wrote in 29, verse 13, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall seek for me with all your heart. He's a rewarder. Hebrews 11:6 says, of them that diligently seek him. If you start looking for God, you'll find him. Don't worry about that. You notice there in verse 28, he was reading the scriptures. I know a lot of Christians that don't read the scriptures. This man was religious, but he was still lost. We have, sad to say, lots of people today that go to church, read the Bible, even pray, but they're still lost. This eunuch didn't understand what he was reading. Because he was still a natural man, and the natural man receiveth not the things of God, their foolishness unto him. That's why Jesus was crucified. Remember the first thing that Jesus said when he was hanging there on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them. Why? For they know not what they do. They don't understand. They don't know. Yonder's Moses, 40 years old. He decides that he's going to deliver the Israelites from bondage. But it's written that they rejected him, for he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And because they didn't understand, they had to spend the next 40 years making bricks without straw, working as slaves for Pharaoh in Egypt, while their deliverer was off out yonder herding sheep in the wilderness. 40 years. Isaiah said, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted. Jesus gave a parable in Matthew chapter 13. About a sower who went forth to sow. And as he sowed the seed, some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and picked it up. Jesus said, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Paul wrote to the Christians in the church at Ephesus, and he spoke of those who walked in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened and alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. This eunuch was seeking the Lord. He was reading the scriptures. And he admitted to Philip his lack of understanding what he was reading. And he acknowledged that there was a need that existed in his heart and life. I believe today that a man cannot be saved unless he knows that he's lost. He's got to come to the place that he realizes a need exists, because he's not going to seek to meet a need that he doesn't know exists. See what I mean? Now, God had taken Philip away from a revival meeting in Samaria and sent him off down here into the desert. Why did he do that? I mean, here's this man, he's riding in this chariot on his way home. Why couldn't Jesus have just appeared to him as a blinding light out of heaven and shone down around him like he did Paul on the road to Damascus? But he didn't save him like Paul was converted. Wonder why. I mean, God didn't do the same thing over again. The result was the same, but the method that he went about it was completely different. You and I could talk about our experience of salvation, and chances are you would say, were you saved by the same God that I was saved by? You know what I mean? We were not all saved the same way, but we were all saved. Amen?
Amen.
That's what counts, the end result. Born again, that's right. No light from heaven. God used a man. But wait a minute. Philip didn't save him. Preacher doesn't save anybody. He simply preached. Read verse 35. And by the foolishness of preaching, God saved this man when he believed. But wait a minute. What did Philip preach? Did he say, quit your meanness? Did he say, do good? Did he say, keep the Ten Commandments? Did he say, get baptized? Did he say, join the church? I don't think so. By the way, did he preach to him the social gospel? No way. He preached unto him Jesus. Jesus. Why? Because there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He preached unto him Jesus because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He preached unto him Jesus because Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. All right, so he believed. He got saved. Now, what's the first thing that the eunuch did after he got saved? And remember I said, after he got saved, he requested baptism. Why? To save him? No, he was already saved. Look at his confession of faith there in verse 37. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. All right, if you're saved, then why are you going to get baptized? Ask Jesus. He says, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And Peter says it's the answer of a good conscience toward God. Baptism is an outward profession of what we inwardly possess. Baptism identifies us with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Savior. By the way, did you know that over 700 million people who call themselves Christians, I'm not talking about Muslims or Hindus or anybody else, I'm talking about 700 million so-called Christians today, believe that baptism brings salvation to infants.
Wrong.
700 million people believe that today. And many more in the Lutheran Church, in the Church of Christ, and others who are taught to believe in baptismal regeneration. The truth is, listen to me closely, a person can be saved and go to heaven without being baptized. And you heard that in a Baptist church from a Baptist preacher. Baptism has nothing to do with our salvation. But baptism is the first act of obedience that a saved person can render unto the Lord. And it's in the commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, notice the condition for baptism there in verse 37. Because, like I said, many churches baptize in order to be saved. Philip baptized this eunuch because he was already saved. That has always been the condition. Go back and read through your New Testament and you'll find that it's always been born again believers who are baptized. And our position today is the same. Now, consider the mode. You go to some churches, you go forward and say, I want to be baptized. They'll say, all right, you've got a choice. Do you want me to take some water and sprinkle it on your head? Do you want me to take some water and pour it on your head? Or do you want me to dip you underneath the water in immersion? There are churches today that give you the option of how you want to be baptized. But look at this, verses 38 and 39. I challenge you to describe baptism by any other way but immersion in water. They went down both into the water and then they came up out of the water. So this eunuch has been saved and he's been baptized. And I like the way God does things. The Holy Spirit caught a hold of Philip. I don't know how he transported him, but he moved him. He picked him up and whoosh, Philip was gone. You know where they found him? At Azotus. That's 20 miles away. He went zoom, just like that. That eunuch looked around and Philip was not there anymore. He was caught away. But I want you to notice the spiritual condition of this eunuch after he believed in Jesus. There are people today that have the impression that if they get saved, their life is going to end. I've got news for you. It just begins. No more running around, carousing around, and getting drunk and smoking pot and all such as this, you know. All of the joys of my life are taken away. Woe is me. Here's this eunuch here. He is so depressed. He is so despondent. He is so downhearted. Oh my, I don't know where to go. I don't want to go back to Jerusalem. I don't want to go back to Ethiopia because they won't understand and I'll lose all my friends and I'll never have any more good times and my laughter will turn to tears. I'll have no more joy, just sadness and gloom and pity me. Bible says that he went on his way rejoicing. When Jesus Christ moves into a person's life and takes away their sins and makes them a new creature, they rejoice. He puts peace in their hearts. He gives them joy and rejoicing. Maybe you're here today in the same spiritual condition that this eunuch was when Philip first found him. Are you seeking God? Are you looking for peace of mind and soul and heart? Will you acknowledge that a need exists in your life? Listen, the same remedy that Paul gave the eunuch, I offer to you today, and you too can go out of this place filled with peace and joy, and you can go out rejoicing, knowing that your sins are all forgiven, that you're saved, that you're a child of God, that you're going to heaven when you die. Because if you died right now in the condition that you're in, what would happen to your soul? Would it go to heaven or would it go to hell? Let's stand together, please. With our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this beautiful illustration that you've given us in the Word of God of how a person gets saved and what they ought to do after they get saved. And Lord, if there's one in this congregation today that's like the eunuch was before Philip opened the Scriptures and preached unto him Jesus, I pray that today they might have heard and by faith they will receive the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day for our justification, and that by faith in him we can be saved wholly and eternally. Father, today, if there's one here that has never been like the eunuch and said, see, here's water, what does hinder me to be baptized? Lord, I pray if they've never received scriptural baptism since they've been saved, pray that today they would come and that your will would be done in their life. Have your will, Lord. We surrender the service to you. Speak to hearts through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
682. 683.
Your presence here today. Again, it's good to have you here. I love each and every one of you. Appreciate your being here and listening to the Word of God. Come back again tonight for our evening service. As we're dismissed in prayer, Brother Roger DeLisle, will you lead us, please, in our benediction?